We were in driver's training together, right?
Yes, we were.
I remember giving him a break with Richard Greco.
Yeah, we did. We figured, how did that work? We knew each other, but we didn't really...
Yeah, we did. We knew each other from...
I just remember going and getting lattes, like, in the middle of class.
We would have been freshmen the year before, maybe?
Yeah, this would have been... We started that the summer.
And we knew each other... We first met each other in freshman year in health class.
And health class,
you were kind of a misanthropic son of a bitch, and I was like, I'll be friends with this guy. I like people like this. They tell you how it is right from the get go. No bullshit from them. You can get along with them if you work at it a little bit. And so there we go.
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started into hum.
Anyway, yeah, tonight we got to talk about a little gem from the early 90s.
Well, you don't like to see the face anyway, so maybe that's your angle.
What? Zow. I love the face. The face is the best.
Zing.
Yeah. Bazoom. Patwang. Patoon.
Shit. Hudson Hawk.
Tonight we're talking about Hudson Hawk.
I learned about the Hudson Winds.
Uh-huh, Hudson Winds, cold.
That was new. Didn't know about that.
Yeah. Danny Aiello, who was in everything from about, like, 1988.
Who was the papa who don't preach.
1995.
With What's-Her-Fuck, who also was
that's
like...
Madonna.
Madonna. It's like it all comes together.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Wait, how what's coming together? Madonna and Danny Aiello?
Used to hang out with that crazy chick.
Oh, Sandra Bernhardt.
Sandra Bernhardt, yeah.
Well, she's in this, too. She's good in this. She's crazy villain.
She's crazy.
People just chewing scenery left and right. This is like a... we talked about this a little ahead before watching the movie again, and I haven't seen this movie in probably 15 years, and you the same, or if you ever did see all of it, you're not even sure. You think you saw it on, part of it on HBO.
I know, right? I never saw all of it.
It's kind of like a live-action cartoon. It's sort of all over the place in terms of its... Not really, actually... You know, it's not all over the place. It's just a cartoon. It's got a lot of levity, a lot of comedy, a lot of stupidity, a lot of things that just happen. And it's very much so like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, I would say, in terms of, like, the guy sits down to drink his coffee.
More body parts.
In a crowded, yeah, it's a R-rated Bugs Bunny cartoon, live-action Bugs Bunny cartoon.
Which is strange. There was no reason for it to be R-rated. They really didn't exploit that in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
They should have just done a PG-13.
Well, they might have, except it got like two or three F-bombs, so I don't think you can get a PG-13.
It's got a bunch of F-bombs, yeah. But they're really kind of meaningless.
Yeah.
They just like to say motherfucker.
Uh-huh. And this was just before they sort of were doing that, before the studio heads were wise to trying to get kids to come in to see movies or something. Or back when it was just like kids could more readily sneak into R-rated movies. I don't know. I don't think this movie did terribly well.
You never just went in and bought a ticket to see Pinocchio and went in and watched, like, Emmanuel Does the Desert or something?
No. Pinocchio was...
Those must have been, like, straight to Cinemax anyway.
I think they were. You probably have those on
Basic
VHS
Instinct.
Tapes.
I did. I had choice edits.
Uh-huh.
But I lost that tape. It was actually a tape that I inherited from a friend, and I contributed to it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's love right there. That's true friendship.
But I think he took it back.
Well, that's not true friendship.
But at that point, it didn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, the internet.
I'd moved on. No, it was still before the internet. I just had better shit.
Yeah, wow. We truly came up before the internet. But like,
we really did.
We were there when it broke. And boy, oh boy, what a difference.
Well, I remember talking to a guy I used to work for. Not work for, work with. And he was talking about the pioneering days of, bulletin boards.
Mm-hmm.
And how you'd wait, you'd, like, spend a half an hour waiting for a picture to download, and you'd go line by line.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost kind of like a pen, like a naked lady pen with sand in it. Except for very, very, very slow.
Very slow.
Yeah, I guess that adds to the burlesque.
Yeah, it was classy.
It
was classy in the
before
mid-90s.
You get to the picture of the carrot sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But this has nothing to do with Hudson Hawk, because Hudson Hawk is basically...
There's really not a whole lot to be said.
Well, the plot, I'll do the plot real quick.
Okay. Do it.
So, after 10 years of being in the Slammer...
You gonna sing it?
No, I won't sing it.
We're gonna mention it's a musical?
Yeah, there's a bit of musical, there's a couple of musical numbers.
Because
one of his character quirks is that he knows, he's like a savant about song lengths. And so anytime someone says a song title, he like just immediately blurts out like how, you know, 2 minutes, 34 seconds, or whatever.
Most of them were in the 5 range.
No, they weren't. Most of them were those in the like 3-4 minute, because they were like old standards, a lot of them.
Before we get off on the plot.
Yeah. We're going to get off on the plot big time.
Big time. But anyway, getting back to Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
He's the main character. He's the Hawk.
He's got a couple earrings.
Like 4.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah.
It was weird.
The early 90s were strange.
Very strange.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Willis's singing career, didn't he release like a...
Yeah, Bruno. Album? The Return of Bruno or something
Return
like that.
Return of Bruno?
That was the name of it, yeah.
Wow. What genre of music was this?
It's just like a bluesy thing. I think he plays harmonica and sort of sings sort of a raspy, bluesy, dulcet tones. So yeah, Bruce Willis, Return to Bruno. He's let out of prison after 10 years. He's the world famous cat burglar that everyone's forgotten. The world's moved on. They got Nintendo now and sports bars, and it's it's sort of a yuppie
sushi.
The yuppie revolution has happened. Microwave sushi.
With Da Vinci.
Yeah. The Da Vinci plot is how they start the movie. They're just sort of showing Da Vinci working on turning lead to gold, and he's got some scheme for that, and then they cut to...
Well, we can turn lead into gold. It's just not very economically viable.
Yeah. Blast from protons. Sandra Bernhardt explains it.
Not very well. It's not a very good plan.
No. So Danny
Goldfinger had a better plan.
But Goldfinger's plan was still to be a capitalist. The people in this movie, the Mayflowers, are just crazy. They just want to create chaos because they're so rich and bored. They're as idle, Euro trash,
well,
terrible.
Goldfinger's idea was to limit the gold, which was a smart idea.
Yeah. His was to nuke Fort Knox so that no one could have that gold, and his gold supply would be worth more.
It was pretty smart.
It also had one of the best bomb-diffusing scenes in any movie in Goldfinger, where Bond's about to, like, oh no, and it's almost time, it's almost running out, and then the general just reaches down and, like, flips a switch on the bomb. Like, it's nothing advanced, it's just, like, turn the bomb off.
Getting back to...
So Danny Aiello picks up Hudson, takes him back to their bar that he's co-owners of, Five Tones, because Danny Aiello's name is Five Tones.
Five Tones.
So presumably they used some of his ill-gotten money probably back in the day to buy this bar.
So is this like a continuation or like the beginning of his character in The Professional?
Danny Aiello?
Yeah. Hudson Hawk gets blown away, mm-hmm. goes off and fucks the nun, and he's very bitter about it, and there's some time discrepancies, but we could make it work.
No, it is the same character.
That's what... He's so bitter, he's sing again.
Hudson Hawk is a prequel to The Professional.
I thought so. There's a little bit of the crazy in The Professional, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, they're threatened by Frank Stallone and his crew, Caesar, the gangsters, biggest gangsters in Jersey or whatever.
Right, I forgot about Frank Stallone.
Steal this auction house, rob this Da Vinci thing. So we're starting to see the Da Vinci connection here.
That was different than what I was thinking about. The horse?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He created a bigger horse, I'm pretty sure.
I think that he created all those things bigger than what they actually do in the movie. I mean, the movie is obviously anachronistic as hell about a lot of stuff, but who cares? It's a really dumb movie.
It's a very, very dumb movie.
But it's fun in some places. Because you don't really know what's going to happen next. It just kind of keeps... And it keeps moving. It doesn't slow down really hardly at all, which is good.
Oh, and Almond Joy. Mm-hmm. She was in Law & Order a bunch.
Oh, yeah. She was one of the, like, defense attorneys that kept showing back up.
Yep.
She's good. Got a lot of personality. So Hudson steals the item. Reluctantly, him and Danny Aiello work together. And then he goes to investigate at the auction because he finds out that maybe they didn't steal the right item or that somebody replaced it with a fake or something.
And then comes in our man, Flynn.
And then, yeah. And enters Jimmy Coburn.
Jimmy Coburn, rest his soul.
R.I.P. Well, we are introduced to the Mayflowers during the auction, where the guy hits the gavel and then explodes. Very cartoony. I mean, there's a lot of people exploding in this, and it's funny and dumb.
Body parts. Mm-hmm. That's always the best part.
Pieces.
Did we watch that?
No, you told me about it, I think.
I told you about it. But now there's the scene with the chainsaw and the arm. You were talking about... Who's talking about arms? Oh, we were talking about Africa and machetes and arms being cut off.
Yeah.
Well, there was a scene in Pieces where he's just like... Arms are just flying off and stuff. I mean, it's a classic, but it doesn't beat the chainsaw duel with Dennis Hopper and Leatherface in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. No, 3's got...
Matthew McConaughey and Renee Zellweger.
No, that's the fourth one. That's the new generation.
Oh, okay.
With Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey. Somebody else famous was in it, too. But no, the third one was, oh shit, what the hell's his name? From Lord of the Rings. It has a very distinct name. I didn't narrow it down.
Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah, Viggo Mortensen's the bad guy.
Oh, weird.
In
creepy.
The third one, yeah. He played a pretty good bad guy. But no, the second one, is the one with Chop Top, but which is a whole other story.
Mm-hmm.
But now Dennis Hopper is like the uncle of the kids that get wasted in the first one, and he wants vengeance.
Yeah,
and he's like a Texas Ranger,
mm-hmm.
but he's like gone off the force and like gone crazy and obsessed.
And this time it's personal.
This time it's personal, so he gets himself his own chainsaws. He's got like holsters for him. He's got like his big one he straps to his back, but he's got the two little ones
mm-hmm.
for the job sting. It's pretty awesome.
That sounds good.
And it's got Stretch, the DJ that like runs around Daisy Dukes the whole time. Who Leatherface like dry humps with his chainsaw.
Wow.
It's the whole package. It really is a theatrical experience. It's one for the ages. And I have it on DVD, you know, if you really feel an urge.
Wow.
Let those urges out.
That was an impromptu Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 review for Mark there. it just kind of naturally worked its way right into about the beginning of the second act of Hudson Hawk there.
Well, no, we haven't even gotten to Nomland yet. That's Chop Top's like grand plan for fame and fortune, is create Nomland, where he runs around and shouts fire in the hole,
mm-hmm.
napalm. And he's got his like phase that he puts on. But no, the best part of the whole movie, well, there's too many best parts.
Uh-huh.
There's the best and the bestest and the best are best.
Uh-huh.
It just keeps, it's exponentially great. But at the beginning, these two yuppie guys in like a Mercedes convertible, they got like the crazy glasses and they're mm-hmm. listening to the new wave music. And they're just driving down the highway, like, and one of them's got a pistol and he's just shooting at random things because he's a little yuppie fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you almost expect James Spader to be one of them. It's like that kind of thing.
That level, it's Spader-esque. The yuppie,
it's Spader-esque.
The yuppie fuckism of it all.
And then Leatherface, and then they piss off the wrong truck.
Uh-oh.
They got, like, this souped-up older pickup, and they're driving down the road, and oh, wow. It's good. It's goodness.
So, Hudson Hawk ends up getting stuck
in... Oh, and the whole thing, they make chili.
Oh, yeah, they do. Like, Vincent smoked meats from Motel Hell.
We should watch it. Why the hell haven't we watched that?
Motel Hell.
I almost bought that. But I couldn't bring myself to do it because there's a 2-pack and I had the other movie already.
Oh, rough.
And it might have been Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. I can't remember.
Probably.
But I just vaguely remember that movie from watching it on, like, USA Up All Night.
You know, with Joe Bob Briggs on TNT.
Well, I saw it, like, easily over 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Nah, maybe not that long. That was pretty damn long ago.
Whoa.
Whoa.
So some crazy stuff happens, and Hudson Hawk ends up getting drugged by a bunch of CIA, ex-CIA types.
He gets drugged several times.
Yeah, but this is the first time, I think. And then he gets, he wakes up in Italy. And
they knock him out and then drug him.
Yeah. And they want him to...
Perry.
And they want him to steal more stuff, yeah.
With the fine ketchup.
Mm-hmm. And,
and the spaghetti in the thermos.
In the thermos. And, so yeah, he doesn't want to steal the things. He wants to be true to not being a criminal anymore, but he can't help it because these guys keep threatening him, and then his friend is brought, Danny Aiello shows back up, and it's like, there's this sort of betrayal, but he knows that his arm's being twisted. So eventually they kind of do their best to get one up over on everybody, and zaniness and hijinks ensue, and then they end up at Da Vinci's castle up on a hill with the gold machine, and adventure happens. They sing some songs, another musical number, and then that's it for the movie. It's just a dumb, fun ride that speaks to a certain sort of weird window in the early 90s that, I don't know, we're never going to have again. A lot of commentary in the subtext about, like, the end of the Cold War, about sort of the idle rich being bored, feeling that there's nothing new to do, there's no new challenges.
What the hell is the slang term for spaghetti? The sauce is gravy, but I can't remember what they call
it. Slang term for spaghetti?
Yeah.
Sauce is gravy?
Yeah, the sauce is gravy.
What the hell is this slang term from? I've never heard spaghetti sauce referred to as gravy. Ever.
In The Sopranos.
No, sorry. I watched The Sopranos all the way through once, but I don't remember
anything. They only commented on sauce as gravy like a million fucking times.
I never picked that up then. It just wasn't. Anytime they were talking about food, I didn't care. I just cared if Joey Pants was like banging a stripper with braces. That's the only thing I cared about.
It wasn't even mine.
Uh-huh. It wasn't his, so it was okay.
They didn't have flat tops in fucking Ancient Rome.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Poor Spartacus.
Uh-huh.
Joey Pants was pretty awesome. Oh, wow. What's he up to anyway? I haven't seen him in anything in a while.
Oh, he shows up every now and again and stuff. He probably has just resigned himself to doing a lot of theater stuff. Maybe just staying home, taking it easy.
And just to think where it started... Eddie and the Cruisers, and...
He was in Eddie and the Cruisers?
He was in Eddie and the Cruisers.
Was he in Eddie and the Cruisers 2, Eddie Lives?
I think so. I think he was like a DJ.
I could stand to watch Eddie and the Cruisers and Eddie the Cruisers. More importantly, I could stand to watch Streets of Fire with Eddie and the Cruisers. Well, Eddie from Eddie and the Cruisers, basically. That guy was in like 4 movies.
Yeah, didn't he have a French-sounding name?
Oh, yeah, he did. His last name was something French-sounding. Vaguely French-sounding. Maybe he's French-Canadian or something.
Yeah, I know who you're... Oh, well, he was in the Philadelphia Experiment.
That would make sense.
With What's-Her-Face from RoboCop.
Nancy...
Yeah, Nancy something. Nancy Taylor?
Who knows? I just know she's unceremoniously killed in the first part of RoboCop 3. It's too bad for her.
That was too bad.
But yeah, Hudson Hawk, I give Hudson Hawk a 3 out of 5 because it's its own weird little thing. You gotta see it at least once. If you're gonna take the movie too seriously, I mean, it tries a lot of stuff. It doesn't work. Like, it tries... When it tries to be really funny, for the most part, it fails. Which isn't like it gives you this ironic appreciation, but it's like, you know what? You take an earnest watching of this movie, and it's like, they're trying something different. They're having a little fun. Let's let them do that, you know? They don't think that what they're doing is better than what it is, and they're not up their own ass with, like, trying to be all dark and hardcore or whatever. And there's some funny set pieces and some neat stuff happening, and it moves along at a good pace. So I'll give it that. And I mean, Danny Aiello, it's hard to hate a movie with Danny Aiello in it.
Like Moonstruck?
on Moonstruck, or that one with even Ruby, you know?
Ruby?
Yeah, he played Jack Ruby in a movie.
He did?
Uh-huh.
What movie?
Some movie called Ruby.
They did a movie just about Jack Ruby?
Yeah, the whole thing is like a CIA conspiracy. It's like an Oliver Stone type of movie, almost.
I was going to say, that was pretty funny in JFK. Brian Doyle Murray played
That's hilarious.
Jack Ruby. Yeah, he had a lot
What's going on here? I'm Brian Doyle Murray.
We need to see more of him. I guess
he does a lot of cartoon voices now.
He does.
He's on Flapjack on Cartoon Network.
Flapjack.
Flapjack is good.
There's somebody whose nickname is Flapjack. They don't know that though.
Uh oh.
We'll just keep it that way.
Keep it on the DL.
Yeah, I got all kinds of nicknames. Flapjack's my favorite one though.
Oh my gosh.
Oh shit.
So yeah, what'd you think? This is your sort of first proper viewing of Hudson Hawk.
The proper viewing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to give it a 2.
A 2?
A 2.
2 out of 5?
2 out of 5.
3 out of 5. I liked it more than you, but...
That doesn't happen very often where I go lower than you do.
Well, no, sometimes... Yeah,
I have
more of a nostalgia factor for it than you do, just a weird kind of like... Remembering watching it
and
sort of surprised by how bad it was as a kid, but how fun it has dumb stuff in it that as a kid you enjoy, like they're walking around shooting like sticky grenades at things, which is
that was pretty cool,
funny and dumb, and it's got I don't know, a little bit of globetrotting. It's a little bit Bond-esque where he like ends up in Rome and then stuff happens, and I don't know, it was fun. Like I said, 3 out of 5 is just a slight recommendation of a see it once, maybe, if you're just looking for something to enjoy on a Saturday night with some friends, have some beers, have some drinks. Yeah, it's not high art, that's for sure.
It isn't?
Not really.
Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. And wait till you see that sunshine day. You ain't seen nothing yet. The best is yet to...
I don't understand how you could call sauce gravy in the first place. It doesn't work for me on any level. Gravy is like fat and meat renderings and stuff, and sauce is like this, like, flavorful, like, alchemic concoction of greatness. Gravy is like something you put on something when... you don't care if you're going to live or die anymore. It's like, you want gravy on that? It's like, yeah, gravy. Fuck it, gravy. Why not? Sauce is something you have when you're sophisticated.
What's wrong with gravy?
I don't know. It's just like liquid heart attack. You think that stuff doesn't... you put it in a fridge, and it becomes this gelatinized garbage, right? You got to think that when you eat it, and your body processes it, what's it going to do? I don't know. I'll have gravy on mashed potatoes for Thanksgiving and stuff. I'm not totally anti-gravy.